If you have your Bible today and would like to turn to the scripture, it's found in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Now, this is a very important scripture because Paul tells us his spiritual ambitions. He tells us what it's his desire to do. And of course, we should all have the very same attitude. Paul had accomplished many things for God, but he still desired to do even more, greater things, to go to greater heights and deeper depths with God. And of course, certainly as the new year rolls around, we should have that same desire, not only for ourselves, but for our church and for the work of God as it goes forth to a lost and dying world. Paul here in Philippians 3 says in verse 13, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for your love to us. We're thankful for your many blessings. You were with us in the year 2016, and we saw great things happen in many ways. It was not a year without trouble as well, but we know that you were there with us, and we thank you for your presence and your love and your power. Now, as we think about the coming year, God, we just pray that you'd bless us in a very special way. We need your help, we need your strength, we need your power in order to accomplish the things that you would have us to accomplish. So we pray, God, that as we look to you for the coming year, that you would bless us in a very special way, guide us and direct us personally in our lives. May we always live a holy and pleasing life to you. In Christ's name we pray it, and for his sake. Amen. Now, as we start a brand new year, as we did last night at 12 o'clock, many people look forward to this time of the year because to them it presents a new beginning. It's a new start. They can kind of put the past behind them and just start off with a brand new record. And of course, God would be in agreement with that. Once we accept Christ as personal Savior, old things are passed away and all things become new. We're a new creature in His eyes, and certainly He blesses us in many ways. Now, many people think about this time of the year, they think about their personal lives, and they think, what can I do to be a better person, a better Christian, a better husband, a better wife, a better worker at my work, and accomplish things that they want to accomplish? And of course, as Ken referred to just a few moments ago, a lot of people this time of the year, they make resolutions to do certain things. For instance, the first and foremost is normally to go on a diet or lose weight or to exercise or to work harder or to accomplish just greater things in my personal life, like be a better husband or wife or something like this. And I think that most people, when they make these resolutions, when they make these promises, I think that they have the best of intentions. It's kind of like one lady said it this way. She said, "This year I'm really going to do it. I'm really going to keep my promises that I have made." But studies show this, that according to many studies and many universities around the country have done various studies, and there was articles and magazines and so forth, they said that research shows this, that about 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. And that sounds pretty good. That's about 120 million people. But only about 8% of those 120, which is about 1 in 5, actually keep those resolutions to any degree whatsoever. So even though we start out sometimes with the best of intentions and with the greatest desires, sometimes we don't follow through. Now, this article that was in a prominent magazine even gave suggestions to how that we could better keep our New Year's resolutions. It said this, It says, make your resolutions or make your goals realistic. And sometimes we don't make realistic goals for ourselves. One lady said, I'm going to lose 100 pounds in the coming year. Well, maybe she did, but probably she did not. Most of our resolutions are not that big or that aspiring and so forth. But we need to be very realistic in the things that we promise and the things that we say that we're going to do. And we need to be realistic spiritually speaking. But God, of course, will help us to accomplish those things that He wants us to accomplish. This article said, if you make a resolution, if you make a promise at the beginning of the year, make it something that's measurable, that you can progress up to, and you can see progress, and this is encouraging. It says, share your goals with someone else and make yourself accountable to them. That's a good idea in any area of life. They tell pastors to do that, to have an accountability partner. To ask, how's your church doing? And you question each other, what are you doing to accomplish your goals for the coming year? And those are always good things. But then this article said, most of all, believe in yourself. And of course, we as Christians have a greater promise than that. We can believe in the power of God because He is always going to be there with us indeed. Now, let's remember this, that we can always make personal goals and resolutions, and those things are good. But as Christians, we have a greater responsibility. We need to look at ourselves from time to time very objectively, very honestly, and just simply say this, what am I doing for God? What have I done in the past, and what are the things that I'm going to do indeed? Our first point today is, from time to time, we need to take a personal and a spiritual inventory. That's very good. And as I said, when we take a personal inventory, we need to look at ourselves very honestly and very objectively. It's not scripture, but I think it comes from Shakespeare. There's a saying that says this, to your own self be true. And isn't that true? Sometimes we don't know ourselves. Sometimes we don't want to be honest with ourselves. And sometimes we cannot see our own shortcomings. But I think the first of the year is a good time for us to take a personal inventory to see where we are, what we've done in the past, and where we're going to go in the future. How can we be a better person? How can we be better in every area of our life? And of course, we shouldn't stop there with a self-examination or a personal examination. We should allow God to look at us very carefully indeed. The psalmist, and I'll refer to this again in a few moments, in Psalm 139, the psalmist said, search me and know me, O God. Weigh everything, search my heart out, search my motives, look at my life very carefully in the areas in which I can improve. I want to improve in those areas indeed. Now, when it comes to making personal resolutions and bettering ourselves and having the idea of making a better person of ourselves, one prominent professor at a seminary once, he said that when his students came to him at the first of the year and asked for his advice to what they could do better for the coming year, and these were future pastors and missionaries and Christians in general and so forth, he said he always gave them this advice. He said his first advice was this. He said, in the coming year, when you're making resolutions or you're thinking about bettering yourself, he said the first thing that you should do is try to maintain better a healthy lifestyle. And shouldn't that be one of our main goals and ambitions? Now, we might think, and he said that he was asked this question sometimes, well, what does my physical body have to do with my spiritual life? I'm a spiritual being. Well, we are all spiritual beings if we know Christ Jesus, but you live in a physical body. And you need to take care of yourself because some people's ministry, some people's effectiveness has actually been cut short because they were not physically able to do the things that God wanted them to do and they could have done if they had taken better care of themselves physically speaking. So, eat a good diet. Exercise. Watch your weight. Those are just some things and ambitions and desires that we ought to have indeed. Second of all, he says, make your marriage and your family life a top priority. Spend quality time with your children. You know, I've learned this. We tried to be involved in our children's life, particularly when they were young boys. And I remember people telling me, you better spend time with those boys because they'll be gone before you know it. And when they were young, I thought, well, yeah, that's sure. I've got all these years. But it didn't take long before they began to look at life from and rather be around their friends than me, and that kind of hurt and all of this. But I'm thankful for the time that we spent together because it was good quality time. But you know, God needs to be first in our life, and certainly He must be number one. We certainly need to put Him on the throne of our life. But second to God must come our family, our commitment to our spouse, our children, and so forth. They need to occupy a very important place in our lives. And we must take the time, regardless of the time that it takes, we must take it because nothing is more important besides God Himself than our family life. And I would say this, make your home a place that is a respite from the world. Make a place where that love is shown, respect is shown, where you teach your children. Train up a child in the way that it should go, and when he gets old, he'll not depart from it. We live in a very wicked world today. We live in a world that's very selfish and very sinful and so forth. And if a child doesn't learn at home, if they don't see love at home, if they don't receive respect at home, if they don't see worship of God at home, they're not going to learn it out in our world. So make your marriage and your home life a very important priority in your life. Thirdly, accept your failures and mistakes. Admit them. Now, you know, we all make bad choices in life. We make mistakes. We do things that we should not do. And those are not so tragic if we will learn from them and not continually repeat those things. I've made bad choices in my life. And, you know, I think that God would want us to do this. He would want us to rectify those things as best we can. If you need to apologize, apologize. If you need to correct a situation, correct that situation. Sometimes nothing can be done except you learn a good lesson, and then you learn from that and you go on to be a better person. You don't repeat those mistakes that you have made in the past. The Bible says this, or it indicates this, it gives us this thought. It says that nothing is so tragic as a person if they fail to continually do the same things over and over again. But the only real failure in life is if we just quit trying and just give up and think that there's no use in going on. The Bible says this, a just man falleth down seven times, but rises up after each fall. And isn't that true? You know, we make mistakes, but we learn from them, we profit, and we go on to become a better person. There was a young man once that was hired on at a prominent company, a national company, and he found out that he was hired to replace a person that had been there almost 40 years. And this person had done a terrific job for the company. He was respected, he was appreciated for what he had done. And the young man, finding out that he was replacing this gentleman, he asked that the man take time for him to give him some parting advice. He said, I'd just like to learn from you. Tell me what are the reasons for your success with this company. And he said, as a matter of fact, I want to learn it so much that would you just please just allow me to write down the things that you tell me. And by the way, meet with successful people sometimes. Dr. Benny Tate constantly meets, and as successful as he is, and probably our most successful, especially in the area of numbers, the biggest church in our denomination and so forth, but he constantly tries to improve himself, and he sits down with other pastors and so forth that are very successful, learning their ideas, picking their minds, saying, what can I do to accomplish the things that you have accomplished? But anyway, this was this young man's idea. And he sat down with this person, and he asked him what was the secret of his success and what could he do, and he said, the older person said, make good decisions. He thought, well, that's a good idea. Make good decisions. I'll make good decisions. Then he said, well, how do I make good decisions? And the older man said, through experience. He wrote that down as well. Then he says, but how do I get this experience? And the older man said, through bad decisions. And you know, sometimes we learn the most by the mistakes that we have made. But it is foolish when we keep making the same mistakes, you know, doing the same things over and over and over again, thinking we're going to get a different result. But if we'll learn, God can bless us. So learn from our mistakes. Number four, he says, forgive often and forget even faster. And isn't that good advice? Forgive people. You know, we all say things sometimes that we don't really mean, or maybe we sometimes do mean them, that we shouldn't say them. And it's very easy to upset people, and it's very easy to have different opinions and different ideas. Not that neither one are necessarily wrong, but let's forgive each other very quickly and not hold a grudge and not hold ill will against our fellow Christians. That is so divisive, that is so destructive to a home, to a church, to the work of God. And it's usually over very small things, over personal issues. So let's forgive very quickly. Let's forget even quicker than we forgive. You know, the Bible says something about this. It says, if we do not forgive men their trespasses against us, neither will he forgive our trespasses against him. And certainly we want to always be forgiven. We're very quick to ask God to forgive us, but he says, with the same measure that you forgive others, I will forgive you as well. So be very careful. You know, we don't want contention. We don't want division in a church, because it is so very bad indeed. So forgive and forget and go on with life indeed. It's so very important. And then fifthly, he says this, respect other people. Believe in them, and as a matter of fact, celebrate their successes. And you know, as we look around and so forth, there's no place for envy. There's no place for, you know, an individual trying to stand out and be number one always. I have the best ideas. It's always my way, and I want to do it this way. There's certainly a place for leadership. There's certainly a place for all of that. But we all work together for the kingdom of God, and that's what we want. I heard an interview last night on the radio, a sports program, and they were talking to an old cowboy, old football cowboy back in the Tom Landry days, and he said that his name was Walt Garrison. Maybe you've heard that name if you've been around for a few years. But Walt Garrison said this, and by the way, he was a tough guy. I remember seeing him play. But he said that when he came to the Cowboys, that he had a very close friend that had the same position that he had, fullback or running back, which I'm not sure which one. But anyway, he said that his name was Don Perkins. And he said that when he came on brand new, and Don Perkins had already been there a number of years, he said that Don Perkins was constantly trying to give him advice and trying to tell him things to do that would improve his game, would improve his running style. And he said one day to Don Perkins, he said, listen, he said, I'm here trying to make this team, and I'm trying to replace you, and you're trying to help me, and I just can't understand your attitude. And he said, Don Perkins told him, he said, listen, he said, we have one goal around here, and that's to reach the Super Bowl. And he said, if you will learn these things, he said, perhaps you can be a better running back than I am, and perhaps you will take us to the Super Bowl. He said, as long as we go to the Super Bowl, as long as we have that success, he said, I don't care how we do it. Harry Truman, I think, said this, it's amazing what we can accomplish if we don't care who gets the credit for it. And isn't that true sometimes? It's not about me. It's not about you, it's about God, the kingdom of God. It's about reaching souls and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the important thing. I think that we need to take a spiritual inventory as well as a personal inventory. We need to look at ourselves very carefully and ask ourselves this as we approach this new year. What am I doing for God? How can I be a better witness for Him? How can I serve Him better? How can I have a better attitude? How can I reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ? These are things that we need to commit ourselves to, that we might be the very best Christians that we can possibly be. And I would say this from my own life, there's always room for improvement. So we need to sit down with ourselves and we need to pray and ask God first and foremost, Lord, am I doing everything for You that I can possibly do? Or are there areas in which I can improve? Do I need to pray more? Do I need to love people to a greater degree? Do I need to forgive others more? What do I need to do that will make me a better Christian? Look at ourselves very honestly and very objectively, ask for God's help, and God will reveal those areas in which we need to improve, and He will help us to do that indeed. Isn't that exciting to know that? You know, if we're going to have a strong church, it's going to involve every one of us being at our very best for God. We don't have time to sit down. We don't have time to relax and all of that and just forget about all these things, because there's a lost community to reach. There's a world that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that they're going to hear about Him is through us and through our ministry here at this church. So we need to sit down and take a spiritual inventory and say, what can I do? And then have a plan to do it. Once God reveals those things, have a goal and have a plan. You know, someone said a dream is not accomplished until you have a plan to do it. Otherwise, you're just a dreamer indeed. David did something, and that's what I referred to just a few moments ago in Psalms 139 that we ought to do many times. He said this. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Help me, Lord, during my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me into Thy paths everlastingly. So he's saying this. And he's saying, now I'm not going to just do a personal inventory or a spiritual inventory of myself. I'm going to seek God's will, and I'm going to ask Him to look at the very depths of my heart and see my motives, see why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. Now, years ago when I was in the Air Force, I had a top secret security clearance. And at first, when I first went in, it wasn't too long after that, when I got my job, I had a secret security clearance, and I thought that was good. But then they told us that we were going to have a top secret security clearance. And I thought that once I got that, I would know everything that the president did. And, you know, I'd be informed of everything that was going on in the country. Well, I found out that even if you had a top secret security clearance, you were on a need-to-know basis. And if you didn't need to know, they wouldn't tell you. And by the way, the only thing that they thought that I needed to know, it was a code book that you set down when you were talking to aircraft. If they needed to do something specifically, and of course this is military aircraft and fire weapons and all that, they had to give you a code, and you gave them a vice code and so forth. That's the only thing. But it involved, I had to have a top secret security clearance to have that. But it was not easy getting a top secret security clearance. I found out this, that they investigated me thoroughly. What they did was they went back to the community that I grew up in. They went to my high school. They interviewed some of the teachers there and my coaches. They went to some of the neighbors that I had grown up around. And they went to this store that was there in our community. And lo and behold, two of the people that they wanted to interview were right there in that store. And they interviewed them, and they said, what type person is Kenny Martin? And one of the neighbors told my mother later on, she said, I told them that Kenny Martin was a very nice Christian young man. I appreciated her saying that. But what I'm saying all that to say this, They investigated me very thoroughly because I needed a top secret security clearance. Allow God to look at your life, the very depths of it. Everything about you. Examine your motives. Examine the reasons that you do what you do. And, you know, if we do even good things without the proper motives, without the proper reasons behind it, did you know we are not going to accomplish very much for the kingdom of God? Our motives must be pure. Our hearts must be pure. We must do those things that want to please Him, not out of selfish gain, not out of anything for personal gain, but that God might be glorified. And that's what Paul was saying. He was saying, search me and know my heart. Because, you know, the reason that we need to ask God to search us out and look at us very carefully is simply this. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He has all wisdom. Some people won't be honest with themselves. Sometimes we look at ourselves much too easily and we think we've got no problems and so forth, but God knows the very intent of your heart. And when David was praying right here, the reason that he was praying this prayer was this, of the terrible things that he had just done. He did not think that he was capable, probably, because he was a man after God's own heart. As a shepherd boy, he had done great things. As a young man, he had done great things. Did he think that he was capable of committing adultery and murder both? I'm sure that he didn't think that he was capable of doing that, but he was. So he said, search me, God. I don't know myself. And the reason that we need to ask God to do that is because we don't always know ourselves. And then once God reveals those things, have that desire to correct those areas in which He wants to, we might be all that He wants us to be. Now the Apostle Paul, in our writing right here, I think that he has a what I would call a holy discontentment with his life. And here's what he says. Not that I've already attained or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What he was basically saying was this. God, you've already used me in a great and marvelous way, but I desire to do even greater things for you. And hadn't Paul been used by God to accomplish great things? He had already gone on 3 missionary journeys. God had used him to take the gospel to the Gentile world. He had used him to do that. He had used him to build a lot of churches, to establish a lot of churches and get them going. He used him to strengthen other churches. He used him to speak before kings and governors and all these other things. God had already used him mightily. He had accomplished great things, but he said, I want to accomplish even more for you. And shouldn't that be our desire and ambition? God, you've used me in the past, and I've been a successful Christian. I've accomplished certain things, but I want to do more for you in the future than I've done in the past indeed. So Paul's desire was to grow to greater heights and deeper depths with God. He wanted to be used in a greater fashion, and that should be our desire as well. Our attitude should be this. No matter how much God has used me in the past, I want Him to use me to a greater degree sometimes in the future. Now, you know, sometimes we get apathetic or a little bit indifferent if we're not careful. We get it to the point where the Bible says they became at ease in Zion. And you know, sometimes it's easy to do this. This is the terrible mistake that the nation of Israel made. They were very strong. They were very close to God when their enemies were all around them. But God said, be very careful now. Be very careful, because once all your enemies are defeated and once everything seems peaceful and secure, make sure that you don't become indifferent in your faith and not live as close to me as you were living in the past. Because if you do this, you will not be very effective. And you know, sometimes Christians do this. Sometimes entire churches do this. They think, well, you know, we've done certain things in the past. And as we look around, you know, God has used us to build this building. God has used us to reach people in this community. God has used us to a great degree, and praise God that He has used us as effectively as He's used us. But does that mean that we can just sit down and relax now and do nothing more? We need to have a desire to do even greater things in the future than we have done in the past, and it can be done. There's no time to sit down. There's no time to relax. There's no time to be at ease. Not as long as there are lost people in this community that need Christ. Not as long as there are people in this community who need our help and who need our teaching and who need our example. We cannot ever let down. We must ever have this desire that we want to do even more for God. So have this holy discontentment to say, yes, Lord, thank you for using me in the past, but I want to do even more things for you in the future. Point number two. The new year is a good time to look at life from three perspectives: the past, the present, and the future. We need, in many cases, to release the past, we need to embrace the present, and we need to anticipate the future. When I say release the past, I mean simply this. The victories of yesterday are not sufficient for today. Now, as Paul looked back at his life, God had used him, as I said a moment ago. God had used him in a great way. But was that sufficient for the future victories that were going to be his? No, he looked at himself and said, yes, God, you've used me in the past, but I release that. He also thought about his past and released that, because he said, there are things back there that I've made mistakes and so forth, but those things are past, and I'm going to go on with God's help to do more things for Him in the future times than I have done for Him in the past. Sometimes people get defeated by their past because I've made the mistakes that I have made that I can't ever be used by God again. But you look at David. You look at Peter. You look at many people in the Bible. God is not only a God of a second chance, but God is a God of many chances. He uses over and over again. There's no perfect people. There's no perfect people around. You know, if you get around another person long enough, Ken has found out that I'm practically perfect, but not quite perfect. And I found out the same from him. But we all have our flaws. We all have our weaknesses and so forth. And sometimes those weaknesses come out. But in spite of all these things, God can use us, the mistakes that we have made. So don't rest on the victories of yesterday. Don't become engrossed with the failures of yesterday that you can't be used in the future, because you can for God. Release the past. And then embrace the present. You know, the Bible says this about the present. It says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is an opportunity. Every day is a good chance, another chance to serve the Lord, to do something good for Him. John Maxwell used to say this, I look forward to every day because this is a day that I have not lived yet, and I'm very excited about what I'm going to do for God in this day. God will help us. Each day is a new day to serve Him, to do everything we can for Him, to witness to others, to show Christ's love to others. Every day we must do those things. Every day we must help others, show the attitude of Christ Jesus to others. You know, if we'll just do each day, if we'll just do something for God, it may not seem much at the time, but I guarantee you this, over a lifetime it builds up, just like interest. It builds up. Lewis was telling me very excitingly a year or so ago, he said, Dad, this plan, this savings plan, retirement plan that I have, he said, I'll be worth $2 million. And I said, my goodness, you know, I have a son that's a million. I said, I hope you do it, because you can take care of me in my old age. Yeah, I hope you do it. But in all seriousness, we think, well, you know, I didn't do very much today. But every day is an opportunity to serve God. And if you'll just do something for Him, if you'll just show love, if you'll show a smile, if you'll help someone, if you'll lift their spirits, if you'll do something to encourage them, God can use that for His honor and glory, and He will multiply it many times over. Use today, embrace today, because it is so extremely important. And then we as Christians need to anticipate the future. You know, the Apostle Paul says this. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What he was basically saying is this. You know, I forget about the past. I press forward to the future because I press toward that high calling of the mark that's in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, we have a glorious future if we know Christ Jesus. Everything is going to be well. And God has two wonderful things out there for us if we know Him. We shouldn't get so down upon this world that we forget that there's an ultimate prize for us. And if we'll just seek that prize, it will be ours. Now, as you look around at the sporting world today, well, a few months ago, 32 teams had one desire. 32 football teams had one desire. Professional teams had one desire. Win the Super Bowl. Win the Super Bowl. And looks like the Cowboys have a good chance this year. By the way, I hope they don't quite reach it. They can get up there close, but as you know, I'm a Falcon fan, and they're number one. And sorry about that if you Cowboy fans, etc. But every team has one goal, and two teams will reach the Super Bowl, and only one team will ultimately win the Super Bowl. But you know, it's different for Christians. We can all attain God's greatest blessing. We really can. And there are two things out there for us that we can all attain. That's what Paul said. We all run the race, and there's a prize. It's not like the world's race. There's a prize out there for every one of us. And there's two things in the future for every Christian that knows God. That's the rapture of the church, and that could come in our lifetime. Harry talked about that this morning. That can easily come in our lifetime. It's perhaps very close by. We don't know, but we must be ready for that time. One of these days, Jesus is going to appear in the eastern sky, and the dead in Christ are going to arise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with Him to be with Him forevermore indeed, and it will be a glorious time. There's also a heaven to gain, that place, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, that place where there's peace and love and joy forevermore. The place that I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor either has it entered the mind of man, the good things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has great things out there for us. Let's attain to those things. The present, our future is secure indeed. Thirdly, I would say in the year ahead, we need to do this. We need to have a prayer that God will bless us in a very special way. Psalms 25, verses 4 and 5, the psalmist prayed this prayer. He said, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me into your truth and teach me that you're the God of my salvation. I think for the coming year, those should be a prayer that every one of us, that should be a prayer that every one of us should pray. Show me, Lord, what you want me to do. Now, the psalmist has already said, search me, Lord. Look at my life very carefully. Examine every area of my life, my motives, my ambitions, everything else. Make sure that it's pleasing to you. Now he says, show me, God, what you want me to do. Pray that prayer every day. God, show me what you would have me to do today. Help me to live a life that would be pleasing to you. Show me the way that I should walk, where I should go, exactly what I should do this day. And then teach me. Now, you know, we're in all need of God's wisdom, God's strength, God's power. Let Him teach us exactly what He would have us to do. And then to lead us, because He is our shepherd. And He will lead us into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, as the Bible says. Do you want to have God's blessing in the coming year? I would say that, again, that we need to sometimes do a personal inventory and a spiritual one. We need to look at our lives and how we can be better and how we can improve in every area of our personal life. But in our spiritual life, how can we do more for God? We need to have the attitude, God search me, God show me, God teach me, God lead me, that I might be the person that you want me to be. I'm going to ask you to do this today. Let's have a closing prayer together, but I'll not ask you to come to the altar, but you're seated next to someone, just join hands with them, if you would. Let's pray, first of all, that God would bless the person next to you. Pray that prayer. Pray that God would bless this church and give us a great and wonderful year, that He would help us to accomplish His will, that 2017 would be a wonderful year personally for us, that we would enjoy His blessings and His presence, and that He would bless our church in a very special way. Would you do that? Pray for that person next to you, first of all. Pray for them. Pray for them. God, bless this individual. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd bless every person that's here today. Bless them, God. Help them in a very special way. We're here because we love You, because we want Your will to be done. We just pray that Your richest blessings would be upon us in a very personal way, that You would supply our needs according to Your riches and glory, that You would bless us. Now pray for yourself, that God would use you, that God would bless you, that you would be a blessing to others, that you would be a stronger and more committed Christian in the coming year than you've been in the past. Seek God's help. Ask Him to show you and teach you and lead you. And He'll do that, exactly that. God, we pray that You would help me today. As I serve You, help me in every area of my responsibility, Lord, as pastor, as a father, as a husband, as a spiritual leader, God. I want to be strong for You. Those areas in which I am strong, God, I want You to make even stronger. Those areas in which I am weak, God, I want You to strengthen as well, that the kingdom of God, that the love of God might be shown in my life. Have that prayer for yourself today as well. Then let's all pray for the church. Let's pray for our church that God will use us. He will continue to bless us. We'll continue, Lord, we'll continue to serve Him in a mighty fashion, but that we'll see even more people reach for the kingdom and the glory of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Keystone Church. We thank You for its ministry, the things that You've done for us in the past. But God, we want Your presence. We want Your power. We want You to be with us, God, as we come to this brand new year, that we'd see even more souls saved, that we'd see more, even more burdens lifted, that we'd see a spirit, Lord, of love and cooperation, that we'd see the power of the Holy Spirit, God, poured out on us in a greater fashion than we've ever seen it before. Bless, Lord, our church in a very special way as we approach the coming year. Guide and direct us in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Brother Ken.